Welcome, everybody, to Shoot the Gap, the IDP Fantasy Football Podcast here at fantasyandframes.com. Last week, JT and I, we covered our top prospects here for the NFL draft at defensive line. This week, we're talking rookie prospect linebackers. Let's get to it. I just want to give a shout out to the past two shows, the Dynasty 365 crew, and then who you just saw on the Fantasy and Frames channel, the Fourth and Frames crew. Both of them had guests from Fantasy Pros, Pat Fitzmaurice, and then we had Derek Brown in the last hour. Just fantastic, fantastic shows, tons of great content. If you all missed it, head over to our YouTube channel. Watch these episodes. I guarantee you, you're going to walk away with actionable information that's going to help you in Dynasty this year. If you don't have time to watch it, maybe on your commute tomorrow, subscribe to the Fantasy and Frames podcast. Those episodes will be uploaded there, ready for you to digest on your way to wherever it is you are going. But we were here to talk about IDP. And so,
those hey, jump in real quick, Jorge. Yeah. Those guys were great. I watched both the shows. Pat's one of my dudes. I love Pat. He's in a league with me and John McGlynn in one of our home leagues. We got together and did a draft this year. Pat picked right in front of me, absolutely stole every player from me, sniped me on everybody. So me and him got a little rivalry going in that league now as he stole all my guys. And then Derek Brown, great guy. I've been in his plan for the Scott Fish Bowl where they do the eliminators. I've been in his the last, I think, three or four years. I've been in Derek Brown's eliminator there for the FC eliminators. So awesome, two guys I know a ton and awesome guys. I was pumped to see both those guys and get to listen to them with all the Fantasy and Frames crew.
Yeah, no, it was just great shows. A lot to live up to here, but I think we'll hopefully give you some great IDP information for these rookie linebackers. But as the screen names say on the screen, I'm Jorge Edwards. You got Justin Taylor. You can find me at Jorge B. Edwards on Twitter, Justin Taylor, JT Orange on Twitter. Man, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Things have been kind of crazy lately, but got a little bit of cold, but you know, I'm fighting through. This is a fun time of year, man. We always talk about it's like we're right between the combine and NFL draft. You know, we've got all these, you know, just it's all smoke screens. Everybody's throwing out rumors. You don't know what's true, what's not true. It's pretty wild right now. Just to think some of the things that we thought was going to happen last year's draft at this time of year, and then what we actually saw happen. So I think we're going to see, I know a lot of people think they know what's going to happen in the draft, but I think we're going to see some fireworks come draft time. It's going to be interesting, I think.
Last week on Fantasy Football Weekly with Keith Fleming, we had Chris Spatostel join us from Fourth and Frames, and he gave a bold prediction for the NFL draft where he said he's going to anticipate five trades within the first round are going to happen during the draft. And here's the crazy thing. You know, as bold as that is, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, with all the talking that's going on.
I totally agree. I could see a lot of movement. I think, you know, fantasy managers, I think we're outside of a couple players. I think everybody is really like not 100% sure who they like, you know, well, this guy over that guy, landing spot, whatnot. I think you can see the same thing in the NFL. I mean, I think you're going to see some teams that love certain players and are kind of out on other guys. I just think you're going to end up seeing some picks and some stuff happen that people are looking and they're going to scratch their head and be like, man, I can't believe they took that guy over these other four guys that were available. And I think we're going to see a lot of that happen because I just think you're going to see teams that like figure out what guys fit what they want to do. And they're going to go for that guy over going, well, is he the best player, you know, as far as draft boards? So teams are going to start taking guys that they want, especially the teams that have pretty established coaching staffs that know they're like the chance of them getting fired in the next, like, year or two are pretty slim. You know, you never know where you're going to see out of some of these teams because some of these guys are on their last leg already. So you're right. Like, who's going to go in there and make a crazy trade because they're like, hey, I got to do something. I can't just sit here and let our team lose every year. I'm going to be fired in the next 6 months or a year. So you never can underestimate the desperation of some of these GMs and staffs that got to make a move. But I just think it's going to be wild because I think the quarterbacks are the big thing. I don't believe that all these teams think even close to each other about these QBs. And so I think it could end up being wild whether teams get nervous, move up for a QB, whether they just say, hey, I'll let those guys get crazy and make trades. We'll just hold back and see what falls to us. So I think it could get very, very interesting.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that are going to be very, very interesting, let's talk about some of these inside linebackers these rookie prospects just, you know, as we were going down our top five linebackers that we were each going to talk about, I kept seeing a lot of similarities in the name that just kept popping in my head. And we talked about him on the free agency show, the free agency fallout show, was Frankie Luvu. I see Frankie Luvu-esque qualities in all of these linebackers who are inside linebackers that, you know, obviously we clump outside edge rushers, outside linebackers in as defensive linemen. But as far as these inside linebackers, a lot of similarities to what Frankie Luvu does or has done in Carolina and hopefully will be doing in Washington. So let's get to our first linebacker that we're going to be talking about. I have him ranked as my number one rookie prospect for IDP, fantasy football purposes, and that's Peyton Wilson out of NC State, 6'4", 238 pounds. In 2023, he had a 17.2% tackle rate with a 4.7% missed tackle rate. That is bordering elites. You know, anything above a 20% tackle rate, you're in the upper echelon of linebackers. And to have such a low missed tackle rate tells me he's extremely efficient at getting to the ball carrier, or whether it's in coverage as a tight end, covering a tight end, you know, or getting in the backfield, blowing up plays. This guy just has it. According to PFF, he is the LB2 in all of the 2024 draft eligible linebackers in defensive stops, number four in solo tackles. He's their number one graded tackling linebacker, 12th in total pressures with 22, tied for sixth in sacks with six. Going back to his ability to play in coverage, he had three interceptions last year, and this guy was the Butkus Award winner for being the best linebacker in all of college football. He plays all over the field. He excels, again, going back to talking about his coverage abilities, whether it's zone or man coverage. It doesn't matter. This guy just makes plays every single place on the field. Now, if you go back and you look at his 2022 numbers, not as impressive. A 10.3% tackle rate, 9.4% missed tackle rate. But what you saw in 2023 was you saw a big bump in his production as far as being involved on run-stopping plays. And that's what you want for IDP. You want your linebackers to be guys who are going to get you those great high tackle volume numbers, the great solo-to-assist ratio. When it comes to solo to assist tackles, because obviously solo tackles count for more points than assisted tackles. And the fact that he brings the added dimension of being a good blitzer or a pass rusher on top of being able to make tackles and make plays and coverage, for me, it was, you know, I saw him, you know, when I was looking at the various, you know, stats and, you know, reading the various reports, and I'm just like, sign me up. What are your thoughts on Peyton Wilson?
Yeah, I like Wilson a ton. Right now, he's number three on my list. Athletically, I think he might be number one, like you said. I mean, he absolutely showed out at the combine. I think people that were like a little on the fence, because he is a little bit of a one-year wonder in that he had just a great one season. But sometimes linebacker, sometimes it takes a little while for guys to really put it all together. You know, the mental aspect of playing linebacker and reading offenses and what they're trying to do. But, man, the guy showed out at the combine. 4.4340. Unreal. I mean, this guy's got wide receiver speed playing linebacker at his size. You know, I think in the right situation, this guy just screams 3-4 inside linebacker, where you can just let him do all kinds of stuff, you know, let him run all over the field. I mean, he's a guy that if you wanted to run, you know, those two deep coverages and you need a linebacker that can get deep in the middle of the field to cover the middle of the field, this is your guy. He's got the speed to turn around, play the run, and then sprint back to his zone in the middle of the field. So I think he just the athletic ability. I think he could fit in a lot of different packages. And I think we're going to talk about these linebackers that way. I think sometimes you get with some of these guys, you're like, man, he's got to be in this exact type of defense if he's going to be successful. I feel like these top guys are guys that can be used in a lot of different ways, depending on how a defense wants to use them. And like you said at the top of the show, Jorge, Frankie LeVou, this is who we think about, because what we're starting to realize with NFL defenses, they're starting to catch up to those offenses. They're starting to go, hey, we can't just stay in this base every play. We've got to do different things. We've got to use our talent on defense, like the offense is using their talent to get the ball in guys' hands. We got to get our defensive studs all over the place. We got to make them make plays. And I think that's where you see a little bit at the top of this rookie linebacker class, at least for me. I see a lot of playmakers. I see a lot of playmakers, not just guys that can fill the gap and make run tackles in the running game, but guys that can do a little bit of everything and that can make those game-changing plays, especially for fantasy-wise. They can get you those turnovers, those takeaways, those pressures. They can guard, you know, tight ends and running backs. They can blitz, but they also can stuff the run. And I think we're going to see a lot of out of these guys. I like Peyton Wilson a ton. Obviously, injury concerns, some of the stuff that slowed him down in the past. He looked great. If he can stay healthy, man, the guy has got all the ability to have a really good NFL career and be a super impactful IDP linebacker.
You know, as I'm flip-flopping with my notebook right here, yes, I'm still one of those old school people who likes to use a notebook for their notes versus going on the computer and whatnot. Don't even look at my desk when you see post-it notes everywhere.
I'm a post-it note fiend. I'm right with you, Jorge. People look at mine, they're like, what is this? I got post-it notes all over the place. I do it at my business. People are like, why is there 75 post-it notes on the desk? I'm like, right. Don't touch those. I know where they're at. I know where they're going. Like, I do the same thing.
And then I get super OCD about it, because if I don't draw a line perfectly straight or I mess up the spelling of it, I'm like, well, there goes one. I got to get a new post-it note, start all over again. So the paper pile on my desk is just abhorrent. But as I'm going back and forth and flipping between my pages here, originally as my LB2, I had Edgerrin Cooper of Texas A&M. And I think I'm flip-flopping him with my number three. So they're basically trading spots here. And for my number two linebacker, I'm going to talk about Junior Colson, Michigan, 6'2", 238 pounds in 2023. Again, you know, similar to Peyton Wilson, great tackle rate versus missed tackle rate, 15.5% missed tackle rate, 3.8% missed tackle rate. PFF's graded out as the LB4 best rated tackling linebacker. What I really was impressed with about him is his great sideline, the sideline speed. You did see it kind of, you know, in terms of the solo to assist, you know, it was the solo to assist ratio was a little bit tighter than I was hoping it would be. I was hoping for more solo, but, you know, again, volume tackler. What I really was impressed with is the fact that his average depth of tackle is 2.7 yards. And so to give people an idea of what exactly that entails, it literally means how far you're letting the ball carrier get down the field from the line of scrimmage. And so if you're a good football linebacker, not just for IDP, but a good football linebacker in general, you want to limit the amount of yards the ball carrier is getting the further they're getting downfield. So if you have, for example, you know, a linebacker who racks up a lot of tackles for you, you know, but is letting the person get an average, you know, but is only tackling the guy, you know, 9 yards down the field, well, you're basically telling me there's no sustainability for this linebacker, because, you know, coaches are going to say, hey, guess what? Whenever you're responsible for bringing down the ball carrier, you're basically letting the, you know, the ball carrier get a first down on average more often than not. So,
I call this the Devin Bush rule.
The Devin Bush rule.
It's my Devin Bush rule to compare him to another Michigan linebacker. This is where Devin Bush was really good at this when he was a rookie, and then when he came back from the injury,
yeah.
If you watched David Devin Bush, it was literally the running back running to him and running into him and him pulling him down as he was making tackles. So even when you saw him get some plays and some tackles, you're like, those are the worst tackles ever. That running back literally ran into him all the downfield, and then he got the tackle. So this is why I call it the Devin Bush rule. It's like, if you don't get to him before he gets to you,
Right.
And that's the Devin Bush rule. You just wait in, you just wait there 6-7 yards deep until the running back runs into you, then you pull him down.
Yeah, right. Or the Nathan Gary rule for the Philadelphia Eagles, and how successful, you know, he was. He got cut mid-season, so not very successful at all. The only thing I wish I would have seen more from Junior Colson in 2023 was just more tackle volume. I feel like there was not enough there. But when what you saw, again, super efficient, not right up there, you know, with Peyton Wilson in terms of being a great pass rusher. But again, for IDP purposes, like, what is my primary objective? I want to find an efficient tackler who, you know, can make plays, whether he's in coverage or playing the run. Yes. Is it great to have the added bonus of having the pass rushing chops of being a good blitzer and getting those sack numbers? Sure. That's like asking for like the cherry on top of a sundae. Like, you know, you're fine with the whipped cream and the hot fudge and the ice cream already. So let's not to get too greedy here. And it's really that efficiency with the high tackle rate and the low missed tackle rate that and the average depth of tackle that really sold me and then bumped him up to my LB2 rookie prospect for linebackers. Where do you have him ranked?
I am right with you here, Jorge. I have Junior Colson as my LB2, nice. But I will tell you right now, he's this close to being my LB1. And the reason he's that close to being my LB1 is I think he's going to be the number one drafted linebacker? I don't. I think he has the highest floor of anybody in this draft class. I think the chances of him busting is the lowest of anyone in this draft class. I just really like him, his motor. Again, like you said, he is a tackle guy. Like, are you maybe going to get the huge impact turnover plays from him that you get from a Peyton Wilson or some of the other guys in this group? I don't know. But as far as pure linebacker tackler that's going to be in the mix on every play, he's my guy. He is my number one guy. If we wanted to talk about old school, just making tackles, being in the mix, Junior Colson's my guy. Now, I'll tell you why. I think he is by far the best combination of athleticism with toughness. Some of these guys are super athletic. They make plays. Junior Colson is tough as nails. He is not under athletic. He maybe doesn't quite match some of these guys' numbers, as you know, in the 40 or some of these other things, but the guy is still athletic, but his toughness is unreal. He played basically all last season with a broken hand and still made plays, still made tackles, never sat out. I mean, the guy is just tough. And I think that might have hurt some of his solo tackle numbers last year as well, was the fact that he couldn't grip with that other hand because he had it in a cast all season. So I think he's the guy. I think he could play in any situation at linebacker. But if you get a team that's funneling, they're running into him. That's the type of defense they're going to run. Gap control, funnel the linebackers. This guy's going to make a ton of tackles. He just super sure-handed. I mean, you saw him. He didn't miss a lot of tackles last year. I mean, you ran down the tackles missed rate numbers. I mean, barely missed any tackles. The guy's got a broken hand. I mean, he's got a built-in excuse to miss tackles. He's still not missing tackles. Yeah. I just think he's the best pure tackler from a linebacker's perspective in the draft. Like you said, he goes sideline to sideline. He can, you know, he runs as fast going side to side as he does straight forward. I think that's a huge thing for him. He comes up and makes plays like we were just talking about. Are you a linebacker letting the guard get into you, block you back a yard or two, and then you're throwing an arm out and pulling a guy down? Or are you blasting that guard, chucking him, taking on the tackler, and making the play a yard and a half past the line of scrimmage? That's Colson. He's coming up. He's making that play. I think the fact that Michigan was so dominant defensively this last year, if you watch a lot of them, I mean, they just dominated most teams they played defensively. He didn't have to make a ton of plays just because they had so many teams three and out. I mean, they were just shutting people down left and right. And Michigan as a coaching staff didn't have to get crazy with a lot of crazy blitz packages with linebackers and things, because everyone they had was good at what they did. And so I think they weren't asking him to do a lot of that. Now I think he's capable. If somebody says, hey, can you blitz the passer? I think he can. I just don't think he got asked to do a lot of that with Michigan just because they didn't need it, because they were so good up front and so good in the secondary. But to me, he is going to be, when the draft actually happens, I'm telling you right now, Jorge, he's going to be the guy that I'm going to really be considering, even with all the edges out there. He's going to be the guy right up there as my 101, 102, 103 as far as IDP guys are concerned. I think he's going to be in my top three, and I could see a way where he makes it to number one for me just because I see the 10-year career of just piling up 150 tackles a season. I can see that out of him. To me, he's the least boomer bust guy. Now, do I think he can boom? I absolutely think he can boom, but I think even if he doesn't boom, I think his floor is still very, very good NFL pro, low-end pro bowler. I think he has that type of ability. So like I said, right now he's two. He's number two for me. He could end up being number one for me just because I think there's other guys that maybe have more pure ability than him. I think he's the best football player. I really do. I think he's the best pure football player. And that's hard for me to pass up as an old linebackers coach and running back coach. I just love those guys are just, you're like looking at him and you're like, this freaking guy knows how to play football. And that's when I look at Junior Colson. I think this guy just knows how to play football. And to me, those are the guys that are going to figure out ways to be impactful for their team no matter what.
100% agree. Let's talk about now somebody who is not as efficient, but I still have him as my LB3 just because he does so many other things super well. And that's super well. That's a great expression. Talking about Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M, 6'3", 230 pounds. Okay, so let's talk about the tackling thing, because I do have an issue with some of his tackling metrics. You know, he does have a good solo to assist ratio. Last year, according to PFF, he had 58 solos to 17 assisted. He had a tackle rate of 12.3%. That's low. That's pretty low. What's even worse is that he had a missed tackle rate of 12.8%. That's high. That's not really good. Didn't really have the best 2023 season, but what you did see out of him is all the things he does besides the tackling as an inside linebacker. The LB6 in total pressures, LB1 in sacks, LB7 in defensive stops, which includes tackles for a loss. And so we may not be talking about, you know, how good he is, you know, in terms of efficiency and total tackling. His ability to make plays behind the line of scrimmage is something that we should pay attention to. LB7 rated linebacker in coverage. Averaged up the tackle 0.7 yards. So this guy does have the athleticism to get around and find the ball carrier. But I think one of the biggest things he gets critiqued for is his inability to diagnose running plays and see those running lanes open up quickly enough that he can just literally shoot the gap. See what I did there? And get to the ball. Thank you. And get to the ball carrier efficiently. But when he's tracking down, going sideline to sideline, this guy does it. This guy makes plays. And the fact that he's only allowing 0.7 on average yards down the field for the ball carrier to get, that is ridiculous. He's basically like not letting them get past the line of scrimmage when he's making plays on the field. So I think he just does a lot of things well. He checks a lot of boxes. The tackle thing is an issue. But I think just because the fact that there is more of a volume, he is a volume tackler, I want to say, to be honest with you. And I want to say that there are aspects of his game that could be coached up and cleaned up as he gets to the pros. But again, 6'3", 230, running at you, full steam, super fast. You can't coach that. You know what I mean? And then you could do all the other things great. You know, it's just that one little thing, which could be a big thing. But again, as we will talk about as we go down the list of linebackers for tonight's show, we'll notice a trend with that. That's my thoughts on Edgerrin Cooper. I'm curious to hear what yours are.
Yeah, I'm right in line with you there, Jorge. I currently have him as my LB1. But like you said, I'm like right there where him and Peyton Wilson to me are the most athletic guys I think Wilson's a little bit better tackler. I think Cooper's got such a high upside. Colston, to me, is the most just the guy that has the best floor that could be good. So right now I got Cooper 1, Colston 2, Wilson 3. I could easily see those guys flopping around. I could see Colson going to 1, Wilson to 2, Cooper to 3 for me. Because again, like you said, I think they're right in that mix together. He's got all the ability. It shows the skills, you know, sideline to sideline, makes plays. He's not the best reader is when it comes to making tackles. That's why I think if I'm an NFL scout, I'm probably thinking that he's going to play my weak side in a 4-3 is probably where I want him, because I don't want it. I want him to chase plays. I want him to make plays from behind. I think that's the spot for him. Now somebody might say, hey, he could work this way in our defense, and he very well could be. But to me, that's what he feels like, that weak side. Because he does, I don't know if he's ever going to lead a team in tackles.
Right.
That's my worry. I don't know if he's ever going to lead your team in tackles, but I think he could be on a defense where if you have a really good middle linebacker that's kind of stuffing holes and stopping the run, he's the guy that maybe has a few less tackles, but still gets you 100 tackles, but then gets you pressures, sacks, some strips, because they're using him in different ways. He's not just the fill the gap middle guy, you know, making that play. Oh, I'm stuffing the run. He's the guy helping doing that, but also doing other things. So I think getting him in a defense where they're going to let him do more than just run stop, I think is the key. Like you said, that's not necessarily his forte, is being the best run stopper and tackler, but he does have those crazy sideline to sideline skills, speed, just agility, can't get after the QB. So I think there is definitely ways that he can be really good. I think he has the most boom in this class. Like, he's the guy, if he figures it out, he puts it all together and he gets on a defense that knows how to use him correctly, it's like, man, could this guy be a top five linebacker? He could be. He's got that ability. But if he doesn't, he can't get the tackles numbers up to go with the turnovers, to go with the sacks and the fumbles. If he can't get the tackle numbers up to be a Shaq Leonard type, if he can't get those high tackle numbers to go with all the turnover plays,
right,
then maybe he's more a guy in the 20s or 30s as opposed to a top five guy. I still like him. I don't think he's complete boom or bust, but I think he might have the most boom just from the fact that he could do all those things. If he can figure out a few of those other things and a team can use them correctly, I like him. He's number one for me right now, but like I said, I just love Junior Colson so much. He's just, even if Junior Colson is a third round pick, I don't know if, say, both those guys go in the end of the first or beginning of the second round, say Wilson and Cooper go like early second, and Colson doesn't go to the third. Colson, depending on what team he goes to, if he has a clear cut path to being the number one guy in the middle, right, I might go Colson over them, just because I think he has that longevity of, like, this guy could put in a Bobby Wagner type of career. He could do a 12, 15 years, you know, just making plays, making tackles, and just putting up great numbers, you know, for years and years to come.
So if you had to rate which one of these three linebackers we just talked about, Peyton Wilson, Junior Colson, or Edgerrin Cooper, being the least scheme dependent, so the most versatile in whatever scheme there was, who would be your number one guy that you'd have no concerns about in terms of landing spot? Whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4.
I think base. The thing is, I think Colson can play a 3-4 inside linebacker pretty easily, and he could be the middle or strong side linebacker in a 4-3. I think his tackle numbers are not dependent on what scheme he's in. I feel like he's going to fill in. He's going to make plays. He's going to do whatever. That's why I like his floor. That's why I feel like his floor is the highest, because I don't think he's super scheme dependent. I just think he knows how to play football, and I think he's smart enough that he'll adjust. You tell him do this, he's going to be like, yeah, coach, no problem. I can do that. I think he's that smart. He can just make the adjustments. He is a green dot all over him. He's going to end up being the green dot for somebody. He's that smart of a player. I think Cooper can play a lot of different things. I think he's got the highest boom. Like I told you, Wilson is the guy. Like, I feel like I love his athleticism, but I feel like he's going to have to end up on a team that's going to use him correctly. Mm. He almost reminds me of Sanders coming out of Arkansas last year that the Broncos took. They just didn't really have a spot for him last year. Right. It kind of was like he was in the mix. I still love him for IDP purposes, but obviously you couldn't play him last year at all because they didn't have a spot for him. I feel like Wilson's kind of in that feel scheme of Sanders where he's like, he's got to be on a team that feels confident in how they want to use him. And they use him that way. Because I feel like if you play Wilson out of position, he could be the guy that performance-wise struggles the most if you don't play him the right way.
No, that makes sense. Let's get to our number four, or at least my number four linebacker here. We'll see where you have him ranked. And I call him the Bobby Boucher of the rookie incoming linebackers because this guy just runs at you, and he's just coming at you, and he's – making plays, tackles for a loss, solo tackles, assisted tackles. He doesn't care. He'll get after you. He'll make a sack. He'll apply the pressures. He'll get you a couple interceptions. Like, this guy is freaking phenomenal in terms of being a stat stuffer. You know, I'm talking about Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Clemson University, 6 foot tall, 228 pounds, a finalist for the Butkus Award this past season. Was the LB4 in total pressures, LB3 in sacks, LB10 rated linebacker in coverage. Again, like I said, with the two interceptions, average depth of tackle, 3 yards. Again, you know, the previous couple linebackers we're talking about, you know, I think this is the farthest downfield that he's allowed on average ball carriers to get, which again, it's 3 yards. That's still good. That's still really good. Really excels at blitzing. Racks up the tackles for a loss. Like I said, he just is the Bobby Boucher. He just goes after and just makes all the plays. You know, he's a firm believer in the H2O and thinks Gatorade sucks. So the only issue that just jumps out to me, and it's a big issue here, is the fact that he is so wild in how he goes about making the plays. His efficiency is horrible. You look at 2023, 11.2% tackle rate. Again, we want, you know, these upper echelon guys to have that, you know, 15 and, you know, plus tackle rate. 11.2, not great. 16.3% missed tackle rate.
Ouch. Yeah.
Ouch. Right. Like the guy, like I said, and here's where, you know, things for IDP, fantasy football, and then the NFL differ. Like, he's a stat stuffer, right? Which is what you want for IDP fantasy football. Because you don't care where the points come from. You know, you care about just getting the points and, you know, going from week to week, at least for redraft purposes. He seems more to me like a redraft linebacker that you can possibly sub in on a bye week or from like a week to week, you know, spot start here and there. For Dynasty, this is where the linebackers start to drop off a little bit for me. But the fact is that if you could just contain the madness, if you could just find a way to harness all the explosiveness and really focus on sharpening up, you know, the missed tackle inefficient or missed tackle rate and cleaning up a lot of the inefficiencies, a lot of playmaking potential. But man, that 16.3% from last year, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Here's where I see, if, like, just in my mind, where I'm thinking about Jeremiah Trotter on an NFL team. He feels like a guy that should be on a bottom five defense who ends up finishing like top 10 or 15 in IDP.
Right.
And it's because he just makes plays. He gets all this stuff. He ends up having the missed tackle rate. He ends up having issues some places, but because the defense he's on is so bad, that he might end up being one of the better players. And so his like PFF rate is probably, you know, might be terrible.
Right.
But his actual IDP scoring is really good. Because they're like, well, he only makes these types of plays and they're downfield. And there's, he missed this guy. He looks terrible. Well, he ends up being the best player on their defense. And so he stays in the lineup every week. And he's the opposite of garbage time offensive guy. He's garbage time defensive guy where he just keeps racking up stats. Even if technically he's not playing that well, that's where I see him. I think he's an NFL linebacker. I think he's a guy to get out there. My worry with him is he gets on a really good defense and he doesn't make the plays when he's supposed to.
Yeah.
And he gets benched.
Yeah.
Like he starts missing tackles, starts doing things, and they're like, ooh, we're playing for a title. We can't have that.
Right.
Where I'm a bottom 5 or 10 team who's not even going to make the playoffs. And they're like, oh, we'll let you learn. We'll let you get out there and just keep playing. And then he just racks up stats. I mean, I could totally see him being on a team like that. But the missed tackles, he's either got to clean it up. If he doesn't clean it up, he needs to be on a bad team that they can't replace him because he can't clean it up. There's no one else to put in there for him. And he's still making all the plays.
You know, I saw
that's where I'm at on Trier. Cause I'm with you. I'm on 4 for him. I like him. I like him as a player.
Right.
I think he has skills. Like you said, he's got a great skill set.
Right.
Obviously his father was a great NFL player.
Eagles.
I think he's got a place in the league. The missed tackles are scary. It's like you get the wrong coach and you never see the field. You get the right coach.
Right.
Who's willing to let some of that slide. If you make other plays, then maybe he ends up being a stat stuffer on a guy that's on a bad defense. And you're like, man, I know so-and-so, say he ends up on like a Raiders or something. And he's just like all over the place, making plays for a team that's losing every week. But the guy just keeps putting up points because they're like, who else are they going to? They're going to put the 12-year veteran who's never done anything else in his career, really? Or are we just going to let the rookie, like, earn his stripes?
Right.
In that kind of situation, you're like, ooh, Jeremiah Trier might be a decent guy to have on the lineup. Because they're going to just leave this guy in every week, and they're going to be losing, and they're going to pound the rock, and he's going to have every chance to make a bunch of plays.
Yeah, the pathway to snaps is not something that should be overlooked for IDP fantasy football or for any aspect, whether you're on offense or defense. Obviously, the more you're on the field, the more opportunity you have to make plays. It's one of those things with him. It's like if he could just clean it up.
Again. Yeah, and I don't know if it was almost him trying to do too much at Clemson.
Could be.
At times. I watched a decent amount of the ACC this year. And Clemson was just down a little bit, and it felt like watching games. Again, this is an outsider. I have no inside information in Clemson. But as an outsider watching games, it felt like the whole team was like pushing a little bit. You know, they were feeling the pressure. They didn't get off to a great start. And it felt like that whole team was pushing a little bit all year. So maybe that was it. And maybe it's one of those things. All he needs to do is get on the right team or have the right player next to him. That coaches him up and says, hey, you're doing this like you're dipping here when you're tackling. That's why you're missing these tackles. And he goes, oh, okay. And they clean it up in training camp. And all of a sudden he looks freaking great. He's not missing any of those tackles because he just needed to clean up, do something slightly different. So he's a guy I'm willing to take a chance on just because I think he's got high upside. He has missed a lot of tackles, but he's got all the makings of an IDP stat stuffer, even if he technically ends up not being a plus player for real NFL purposes. He feels like he could be a plus guy in IDP.
You know, and it's crazy because I'm reading, the various scouting reports on him, and I think Lance Zierlein compared him to Nick Bolton, and I'm like, I don't see that. I don't know where that player comp comes from. Coincidentally,
Nick Bolton is about as sure hand as they come. I don't know where he got that one. I mean, I'm maybe one of the biggest Nick Bolton fans, not only because he's just an awesome IDP player, but he went to Missouri. When he came out of Mizzou, I basically told anyone on any IDP league I was in, we're overdrafting him. I don't care if I don't get Nick Bolton on my team. I'm going to lose my mind. I was like, he's going to be an absolute phenomenal NFL player. And so I do not feel the same way about Jeremy Trier that I feel about Nick Bolton.
No. And, coincidentally, there's a linebacker I want to talk about who's not in your top five. But various scouting reports and profiles you go through and you read, just trying to get a better sense of what's going on here. A lot of people are not as high on him, but for IDP fantasy football purposes, I am. And that is Nathaniel Watson, linebacker out of Mississippi State, 6'2", 244 pounds. Again, now we're getting back to, you know, the things you want for IDP in terms of having a solid tackler, the 14.2% tackle rate. Okay, we're not, it's not a 15, but I'll take it. And I'll also take the fact that he only had a 5.4% missed tackle rate. Now you're talking. As far as an inside linebacker is concerned, he was the LB1 in total pressures. He's great at blitzing and getting to the quarterback. He is the number one linebacker, inside linebacker, in sacks last year. PFF's third best graded tackling linebacker. Look, coverage is not his thing. Again, I don't care that he don't have the cherry on top of the sundae. Give me everything else below it, and I'll be totally happy with that. There's not really much to say. I mean, like, again, it goes back to the Junior Colson thing. I wish I could have seen more of him. But when you're looking at the metrics here and you're looking at just at the efficiency and what you want for IDP purposes, I don't care that there's not the total package. It's hard to find somebody who's like really good at everything or great at everything. But what I think he is, he's good at everything and does enough across the field, except for playing in coverage, compared to all the other aspects of the defense that he does play. That I think for IDP purposes, for being that, you know, run-stopping linebacker, as well as being able to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, get those tackles for losses, get those sacks, get those little splash plays, impact plays, I think he has the potential to do it. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about him. And therefore, he could definitely be somebody in your rookie drafts that could fall a couple rounds deep that you may be getting a steal on that has, you know, upside potential here. I was wondering if you had any thoughts or anything in regards to Nathaniel Watson.
Yeah, he is not in my top five, but I like where your head's at here. He seems like a guy that you might be able to steal in IDP drafts if he ends up in the right. Here's my player comp to him is I think he is a Landon Roberts-esque, getting the ball, making tackles, not great in coverage. I think he's better pressuring the quarterback than him. I like the high upside there. He seems like a middle linebacker slash strong line side guy to me. Just that fact that he can bring it. You don't have to blitz him all the time, but he's just going to be ultra aggressive. He's going to get in there. He's going to, you know, get his nose dirty and make plays. I really like him. I think he's one of those guys that's not going to be a sexy pick by any means. Right. So people are just going to like kind of forget about him. I mean, he was on Mississippi State. They were not good this year. You know, they just were not a good team. So people kind of forgot about him. But that tackle rate with the missed tackle rate, like you said, the guy can get in there. He can make plays, and if he can get, you know, I think he can play 3-4-2. If you get him as the other inside linebacker in a 3-4 where he's more the fill the gap guy and the other guy's more, okay, hey, we're calling plays. Hey, this guy's going to blitz. You're going to blitz. This guy's going to drop in coverage. He fits that because he can be the guy that blitzes and not the guy that drops in coverage. Right. He's got a good enough size. I mean, some of these linebackers are a little undersized, you know, 230, 235. He's at 245. Right, what you want is that inside guy. He can take on blocks. I really like him. I think, you know, given if he can end up in a spot where he can get a lot of snap share, he's got a chance on like a lot of snap share. I think it could be good. And he's one of those guys linebacker coaches love. They just love those guys that want to stick their nose in there, want to play tough. I like him a lot. He's not going to be in a lot of guys' top five, but I can see him actually getting drafted higher than most people would anticipate because somebody's going to really like him. And someone's going to say, hey, he fits. Who do we got on the roster? We got this guy. Oh, he's the missing piece. We can put him in there. He's going to be our bull. He's going to be the guy in the middle that's just, you know, mucking everything up. And he's the type of guy you can put some athletes around him, right?
Right.
He's athletic enough that he can go and make plays, but you're like, hey, you have a guy, hey, they're a little more athletic, a little more undersized. You can put him next to him. Not that you can't still blitz him, but like, you know, now you've got people can feel, oh, and you figure we're going to bring that outside guy. It's a little smaller, more athletic. Then all of a sudden you blitz him from the inside. I think it's sneaky. He's a guy that I've only recently been hearing more and more talk about him as far as NFL circles with people like really liking him on the defensive side. So I think that's sneaky. I think everybody write that down on your post-it note, put it next to your computer.
Exactly.
That's one we're saving. Hey, this is a sneaky mid-round IDP pick. I love it. A stamp of approval from JT on Jorge's pick there. I love it.
Nice. Excellent. Well, then, if that's who I have at five, who do you have at five? Or who do you have that, in your top five that's left?
So my last guy in the top five, a guy that, you know, I wasn't sure I was how high I was on him. I looked at him a little more on tape, some of the things he did. North Carolina in general, little down here for them. Everybody was mostly watching Drake May tape, obviously the QB. Everybody's got their eyes on QB. Cedric Gray is a guy that just racked up stats the last 2 years for the Tar Heels. 266 tackles the past two seasons. I mean, guys, an impact player all over the field. For me, IDP, this guy feels like a guy that can crush IDP. I mean, he's one of those guys that can come out of nowhere and you're like, where did that 165 tackle season come from? Oh, this guy. You know, he's like, he just gets out there and he makes plays. He's all over. Obviously, landing spot and how much is going to matter, but he's a guy that makes tackles. And so if you start looking, you're like, hey, I'm outside the top couple. I've looked at the most athletic guys. I've looked at some of these other, you know, pretty good players. Where's a guy that's going to maybe get drafted in like the third or fourth round, but a guy that could absolutely step in and start right away for a team and can make plays? To me, it's Cedric Gray. Because he's just made tackles his entire college career. That's why I really like him. I think he's underrated. People just haven't really been looking at him. You know, athletic, he's not unathletic. He's just not, you know, an absolute freak like some of these other guys, like a Wilson or a Cooper, who are just like, I mean, you're looking at those RAS scores and your just eyes are popping. You're like, oh, my God. This guy's like a 9.5 on the RAS scale, you know, and you're just like losing your mind. This guy, to me, he reminds me of a little more of Junior Colson. Just a football player, you know, a guy gets out there, just makes plays. Is everything going to be pretty? No, but you don't want your linebackers to be pretty anyway. You want your guys in there making tough tackles and plays. That's why I like Gray. If he ends up getting buried on a depth chart because of the bad draft position or something, I might change my tune then. But he's a guy that I most likely, unless it's just in a terrible landing spot where you're like, you just can't see any way he gets on the field more than 25 or 30% snap share, I'm probably taking a flyer on him in the mid to late rounds of my IDP drafts because I just think he's a guy that could end up being that guy that makes a lot of tackles. He could be that Alex Singleton, that Josie Jewell, that, like, you know, every year you're like, it's not a sexy pick, but you're like, gosh, the guy just performs. He just gets you points in IDP. I feel like he could be one of those guys just because he knows how to rack up tackles. And that's why he's moved up my board. I could see him not even being, I could see him being like 8 to 10 off the board as far as actual linebackers in the NFL draft. So, but again, I like his IDP chances for the fact that he can make plays.
No, I'm right there with you. For me, you said Peyton Wilson. I kind of see more of Edgerrin Cooper. Just because, you know, we weren't seeing such great numbers for the tackle rates and the missed tackle rates. But what you were seeing was the impact plays, blitzing, sacks, pressures, playing well in coverage. He held opposing quarterbacks to a quarterback rating when playing in coverage of 79, of a passer rating score of 79, which is freaking fantastic, you know. So he does a lot of things, you know, outside of just being a run stopper very well. But, you know, I do think that there is some cause for concern there. But again, it doesn't matter if you're racking up 266 total tackles over two seasons. Like, you don't care where those points come from. You just give me the goddamn points, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Is he going to be top 20 in PFF? Probably not. But, dude, the guy's just making tackles. He's making tackles for you, and he's getting your stuff. So that's why, like, he's a guy, like I said, He's not going to jump off at you athletically. I think his 40 time was like a 4.64, which is not bad, but it's not, I mean, it's not 4.43. It's not Peyton Wilson. It's not there, but decent size, 6'2", 234. You know, like I said, he's a guy who makes plays. He's pretty good. Fairly sure handled on tackling. He can, like a lot of these guys in the college, they really have implemented more pass rushing from a lot of these inside linebackers. Mm-hmm. We didn't see that in the past. I mean, you remember these old school 5-2 defenses, 4-3s, where if you were an inside linebacker, it was like, get your gap. That's the only thing we care about. You fill in that gap. And then they're letting these guys use their athleticism and make more plays these days, which, you know, as an IDP person, somebody who loves defense, I love it. I love to see defenses mixing it up and putting pressure on the offense instead of just sitting back and going like, okay, we're going to run our base and just hope we can stop you. I like to see these defenses get a little crazy with it. He is pretty good in coverage. So, again, I think he's a guy that I think you could see the snap share. He's not one of those guys that you're going to turn around and go, crap, as soon as we get down, we go to the nickel. He's got to come off the field because he can't, you know, pass coverage. I think he can. I think he's one of those guys that could be a top two linebacker on a team. So that's why I like him there. But I think there's some good linebackers in this draft class. I just think, you know, people have devalued the inside linebacker as they value the edge so much more. But Jorge, you know, like I do, inside linebackers, they can make or break your team. IDP wise, you got it. You have to have guys that put up points. You can't be taking, you know, one-twos from your inside linebackers. No. You got to get points from those guys. And so it might not be the sexy sack totals that we all love to see. And we're like, we got 35 out of that guy because he got two sacks and a strip fumble and everything. I mean, those things are awesome. But you sometimes you just got to be – I always tell people, first when I started playing IDP, the guy I had always taken in my league was Keith Bullock. Old school Syracuse Orangeman. Tennessee Titan, you knew you were just chalking up 10 points for him every week. Yep. He's giving me 10 points. He's going to get tackles and assists. He's going to get me 10 points no matter what every week. And you got to have some of those guys on your team. He's going to get one sack a season if you're lucky. You know, he's not going to get probably any picks, but he's going to get you tackles because he's just that base. He's in that center of your defense. This is making plays. You got to have some of those guys. You just got to, and you do not want to miss out those guys in the draft, especially late. These rookie is the best time to get these guys. Get them late in your rookie drafts. Get them when nobody else is really looking at them, because you're going to have to turn around and trade for that guy. If he hits, you're going to have to trade a whole lot more for him the next year, where you can take a chance, put him on your taxi squad, and then if he ends up hitting, boom, you're in. You know what I mean? I think you're going to see a lot of these guys slip this year, which I love. I think you're going to be able to get some great value at inside linebacker in this draft.
You know, it's funny, you know, I'm thinking about player comps here and just how we've been talking about the entire show, like the versatility that all these inside linebackers can bring. And the second you mentioned talking about 5-2 linebackers, 5-2 defenses schemes, and the two inside linebackers that are on the field at all times, Edgerrin Cooper, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Cedric Gray. You know who I think is their player comp if they shore up the tackling? DeMario Davis. And I go to think about DeMario Davis in his time both as a Jet and then when he went to the New Orleans Saints. Like, this guy is asked to blitz. This guy is asked to play in coverage. This guy, you know, he puts up decent tackle numbers. Like, I kind of want to say that they have DeMario Davis upside here. And who'd have thought
that would be great, DeMario? Right? I mean, like, if they be having a DeMario Davis type career, you're like, that's a win. I mean, like, you're like, yeah, like, absolutely. I love that comp.
But anywho, so yeah, that wraps up our top five each rookie IDP prospect linebackers. JT, why don't you tell people where they can find more of your rankings?
Yeah, check me out at JT Orange on the X or Twitter, as we like to call it as well. You can find all my stuff on there. Got all kinds of rookie articles and stuff coming out. I repost anything I write, all my stuff on there. So go ahead and check me out there.
And then for your rookie IDP rankings, they can find them over at DLF, right?
Yep, you can head to DLF. I have my top 150 rankings. I've been concentrating more on the rookie rankings, our top 20 overall. You can go in, you can click me specifically. You can click by position. We'll show you my top five linebackers. It'll show you my DBs. You can look at a list of all of them together. So go ahead. Usually when we come to this show, I'm bringing you my rankings from there. So I'm giving you kind of a little in-depth look from there as well. But yeah, you can check out all my my stuff there. And then I'm going to keep pumping out some articles here for Fantasy and Frames. You know, we're going to throw out some guys that we like, some players I like at everything. I've already got an article out on one of my favorite linebackers to pick up this year. We're going to jump into some edge rushers. We're going to jump in some defensive backs here in the coming weeks. So make sure to check out the website for those, as I'm going to get some of those posted as well to the Fantasy and Frames site.
Awesome. Love it. And for those who are watching, thank you all very much who've been watching Fantasy and Frames Wednesday, starting at 8 o'clock tonight with Dynasty 365 with Pat Fitzmaurice from Fantasy Pros. Shout out to all the guys at Fourth and Frames at 9 o'clock who had Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros. Just great shows, great guests. Thank you for the guests that came on. Really appreciate your support of here, everybody here at Fantasy and Frames. And you know, JT and I we're glad that so many of you wanted to talk and listen to us ramble and talk about IDP fantasy football.
Ramblings for me is right.
Yeah, right there with you. So thank you very much. Next week, we're going to be going over the top IDP defensive back rookie prospects for, you know, leading up to the NFL draft, so that afterwards you can have your rookie drafts and, you know who to take. And so for JT, I'm Jorge. We'll see you all next week.